Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please join me in introducing Kings of Tins captain, two-time Star Cup, Star Strikers Cup champions, Mr. DJ Wheats.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Jeff shortened my script by about
I can't read for shit when I do that stuff.
three paragraphs. So you guys got off easy. What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 77. No, I'm just trolling. I had fun this weekend. I can't wait to hear what you guys thought about it. But yes, welcome to Inside the Game, episode 77. Welcome, EG Thorzane, EG Seppi, and EG In Control. Hello, gentlemen. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
How are you?
Wait, how was it absolutely demolishing established pro gamers that are supposed to be really good at the games they play, like Thorzane Suppy? Not once, but twice. You make it look so easy. What's your secret?
It's hilarious, Jeff, because, you know, as these two guys were, you know, somewhat talking smack last week on the show, like, I already knew in my heart of hearts, like, we won this thing.
Yeah.
It only got easier. So I practice one time a week every Monday during Kings of Tin at the very end of the show, and that's my secret to my success. Other than the fact that Kaioken and Titanium are fucking amazing at that game, so I can't take that away from the team.
Suppy, did you practice more than once?
For the first tournament, we practiced like a week and a half every day, and this tournament, we had a substitute player because our main player couldn't play, yeah. So chemistry didn't work out. I blame him, basically.
Yeah, Escaho was not in there, and that was a big hit. That was a big hit. In fact, when we heard about that news beforehand, we were like, oh, well, then this thing is definitely in the bag.
Nice. So, yeah.
We practiced one single time, but we're so going to win the tournament. Like, this is the deal. So we played, we introduced ourselves to our teammates, and we're like, okay, what heroes, what units should we play? They're like, what guys have you been playing before? So I was like, well, when I played Star Strikers, just for fun, I used the Sentry. And they were like, okay, you can use that. So I thought the Sentry would be like a good unit, because they said, like, you can use it. And then Flo was like, oh, I've used the Reaper. Okay, that's also cool. And then, like, halfway in the tournament, I started wondering, like, why are we losing? They're like, oh, it's because you play shitty units. I was like, what? Why did you tell us that now?
Dude, Thorzane, the most exciting game I think I watched was maybe you versus Idra and Huck's team, and you were playing drone, and you had some fucking sick-ass saves. Like, I was on my feet, and I think you ended up losing that one. It was a really, like, close game. But
when we played the Sentry and the Reaper thing, we lost both games, and then we switched without any practice with the drone and stuff, and we just won against the other teams. Like, they were undefeated except for us, and I'm so disappointed that we didn't play, like, a good combo all the way through, because our teammates
thought... So you blame the Star Strikers pros, then, is what you do.
Well,
you blame them.
Kinda. Like, they were good, but they thought that we didn't take this serious, because they were like, oh, these other teams are so try-hard, they're playing with these and these and these units. We're like, okay, so why are we playing with these? Oh, just for fun. They're like, what? Just for fun?
You wanted to be try-hard.
This is like, so much honor goes into this, and now I'm just lying at the dirt.
But you'd play again.
Yeah, I'd play again, and that time I'd play good units all the time, and I'd fucking get my revenge.
Okay. You never... who'd you get to play from the other group, Suppy? Oh, you played Idra and... Or no.
We played
Roddy Select's and...
Game.
Yeah, okay.
They ended up getting the finals, right?
What's that?
They ended up facing you guys in the finals, right?
Yeah. Yep. We crushed them in the finals.
Hey, I think I'm just gonna say this right now. They need to nerf the queen. It's way too imba.
Well, what do you mean? Like, what is too imba about the queen?
You can There's no team composition that can't use a queen. It's put like the grab is fine. I think that's a cool dynamic, but the push is just it pushes anything. It can push behind you and still grab the ball from you. It's imba.
Everyone should run a queen. That's a good unit to have. So anyway. I had fun playing Super Star Strikers. Thanks to Chan Man V for setting that up. And thank you, Jeff, for almost reading my paragraph.
Next time you win, I'll do a bigger one. I apologize. Okay. I forgot that the parts that I left out were actually just to make fun of Thorzane and Suppy. So
they were, but it wasn't that bad. It was just having some fun. All right, gentlemen. Other than Star Strikers, how's the week been? Anything exciting going on, Thorzane?
Nothing exciting. Just like nothing out of the ordinary.
Have you been to IKEA yet, Thorzane? While you're here.
Yes, I have.
And?
Like 3 days ago, it was like any other IKEA I've been to.
Oh, okay. I thought there was maybe something. Like... Yeah.
It's funny because.
Did you get homesick? Did you like sit on any of the settings and go like, oh no?
Well, they had like the store where you can buy like Swedish groceries or something like that, and that was kind of cool.
Oh, the meatballs! Don't they have the meatballs? Didn't they get in trouble?
Yeah,
meatball and
they were,
other
like,
stuff.
Or something.
$1 ice cream.
Yeah, and 50-cent hot dog.
Yeah.
One thing I realized was like, the Swedish letters, the A with the dots on and the O with the dots on. Like in the names, they use that like 3 times as much as they're used in the Swedish language, just because it's like supposed to be exotic or something.
Yeah, now you know it's Swedish.
Yeah, it was fun. I've never been to an IKEA abroad.
Thorzane, what is the name of those dots? I mean, I know like the German. Is it the same thing?
Like you mean of the letters or of the actual dots?
Yeah. In German, they're called umlauts, right?
Yeah, umlauts. Are they umlauts in Sweden?
I'm actually not sure. I think they might be, but I'm not completely sure. Well,
fuck, man. How am I supposed to sleep tonight not knowing if the Swedish are also using umlauts?
Well, you can't sleep.
Someone will chat. Will tell me.
There's always a Swede somewhere.
Suppy?
I had a really, really fun stream on Friday. And I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I saw the video, you weirdo.
What'd you do? Oh, wait, did you dance or something?
Yeah. That was only part of it. I don't know why they linked that part.
Well,
no,
wait,
there was way better
what happened?
Part. It was just fun. It was just so fun.
Just
I don't know
fun.
Why. It was so fun.
Well,
and then...
But what was fun about it? I don't understand.
I don't know. I was just having so much fun.
Were you playing games or...
Yeah, I was playing games. I have like... I have these like stories between for all my units now.
Okay.
Like I have names for them and characters. Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's really fun. You guys should tune in.
All right.
Next
time I will.
You are chewing on peyote, aren't you? Jeez.
No.
What? It was fun.
Well, he didn't know it was peyote until the beginning of the show.
Yeah. But... Seaweed.
No. It...
And then I went to the gym a couple times. I haven't gone in like 20 years, so I'm going to get super buff.
Wow, so you haven't gone since you were a baby.
Yeah.
He's actually contractually obligated to go to the gym, too, as an EG member. So.
That's awesome. People don't know this, but DeMuslim went to the gym like twice after I had been going for like a year, and he beat me in an arm wrestling competition.
Oh, my God. DeMuslim did?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure there's muscle on his arm. Like, I actually have... I have theories about how he moves his
body. No, look now. There's something now. There's, like, a little lump thing, but... I lost to him. I was really
you
sad.
You lost to him?
Yeah, and I keep track of my stuff. In my stream thread, I keep track of how much I work out. I, like, put all my workout, like, data there. And, like...
Do you, like, not masturbate? How's that work? How do you have less muscle strength?
Oh, we had to use our left hand because his right arm has, like,
that explains
it.
Hey... Birds and bees talk real quick. Shift it up, man. Go for the stranger once in a while. It's great.
What does that mean?
I was waiting for what's that. I was just waiting for it. Will you look it up, Suppy?
Yeah, that's not a Google. Google Images.
Not Google Images.
Google Sound. Do they have that? They should.
The stranger is an act where you sit on your left hand for 15 minutes.
All right, sorry. All right. Jeff.
Yo, saw Pacific Rim this weekend. It's a really, it's a fun movie. It's, like, you should laugh at the dialogue. There should be holes in the story. Nobody should ever come out of that movie and be like, I don't know. It's not that realistic. And then they, like, have problems with it. Like, you need to sit down and enjoy giant aliens and giant robots going to war. And if that's what you're, if you have any other expectations, then you're an idiot. But if you're okay with that, then it's a great movie. Took my dogs to the dog park, which is like a weekend thing that we do now. It's really awesome. If you live in the Bay Area, this place called Point Isabella, it's like I really like dogs. I grew up on dogs. So imagine a place where it's by the water, and every weekend, people just bring out all different shapes, sizes, dogs. There's like 1,000 fucking dogs just crawling and sniffing and running everywhere.
Is there I have a serious question. All right, because I know that a lot of dogs are, you know, very well behaved, but I got to imagine with that many dogs, there's going to be another dog that just doesn't fucking like another dog, and there's got to be some dog fights that happen.
Like I've never seen one. I'm sure it happened. But what I did see that I thought was actually, in my opinion, more funny. I don't know why this happened, but we walked up over a hill, and there was a picnic bench, like, overlooking the stormy Pacific Ocean, you know, the nice San Francisco Bay. And a dog was mounting another dog on top of the table with that backdrop. And I was like, Anna, look, they're filming a dog porno. And, like, the owner wasn't even concerned about it. He's like, yeah, whatever. Like, they're just up on the table going at it. I thought it was so
I'm on top of the world, Wolf.
It was a Titanic moment. I was like, what is going on? But so I did that, and that's about it. I mean, this week, actually, to be honest with you, I'm probably pretty safe to say this without giving too much disclaimer. Anna leaves on Wednesday for Comic-Con, which means I've got bachelor pad for like almost a week. That's pretty cool. I mean, I love my wife. I love her. I love spending all the time with her. But it's also really cool to have the place to yourself for a while. It's going to be fun. A lot of fucking games are going to happen.
A lot of games. Yeah. Well, exactly. There are no bedtimes. There are no
bedtimes.
There is no sleeping. It is only gaming.
Yep.
All right. Great. Glad to hear that everyone's been doing good this week. Let's talk a little bit about StarCraft. And, you know, I mean, honestly, as far as news is concerned, a lot of results that came out, some of the typical stuff, everyone following WCS at the moment. But we'll hopefully get a chance for maybe some more phone calls tonight. As I know in the past, we haven't had as much. So first and foremost, kicking off at the Coffer Loop. Actually, let's do this first. So, you know, we've talked about it on the show before. We talked about it live on 3 before, the fact that in many cases, a lot of times, the general gaming world out there, the joysticks, Kotakus, you know, IGN, you kind of throw them together, although IGN with Pro League changed a lot, as is GameSpot changing a lot. But kind of always putting esports in sort of this, like, duh light, like either that we're a bunch of idiots, or we're cheaters, or we look at mini-maps, or we're rambunctious, or we get in fights, and you know, rarely do we actually see good pieces about esports. Mm-hmm. And in this particular piece, if I can bring it up, actually Polygon, which is sort of a new age gaming blog, if you will, they're definitely doing a lot in terms of like culture, I would say, and the culture surrounding games. But in this particular case, they did a piece basically called "How Two StarCraft Commentators Became Stars," and it's of course about Nick and Dan. And the nice thing about it is it just talks a lot about the game of StarCraft. I'm not sure if either of you guys had a chance to actually check this out yet. Anyone get a chance to see this yet?
I've seen it, but I didn't read into it.
Okay. I mean, the point of what I really wanted to talk about, by the way, they got these cool little things. It's like
the little flippy card things.
Little flippy card things. Like, yeah. This is cool. Did you happen to read any of it, Zuppy?
Yeah, I read most of it.
Okay. You know, like I said, in a lot of cases where we often hear about the dark side of esports, it's just nice every once in a while to actually get something that's like, oh, someone actually put some time and thought and research and consideration into this article and went into the game a little bit as well in order to write it. And I don't know, hopefully everyone's seen it by now, but I just wanted to at least give it a little bit of press, considering that some of the articles we give press to on these sites typically are shitty. So, yeah.
I think people are just starting to accept that esports is the new trend, and like, if they can't really fight it anymore. Like, they fight it, we're gonna come. It's gonna get on Reddit. We're gonna get a lot of negative attention. I guess negative attention is good attention too.
That's
but
been one of the problems, Suppy, is that a lot of times they were okay publishing that stuff because they knew they would get traffic. right? If every single time, like, the community would be like, what the fuck? Go check it out. To the point where the community actually started getting smart with it, and they were like, here's the screenshotted webpage. Please don't visit the site. You know, but that was definitely one of the problems, I think.
That, and it seems like gaming is plagued by the really stereotypical gun violence, stagnation of, like, societal growth. Like, those are the really hot-button topics that politicians like to talk about because parents actually think that that's, you know, like, the real big cause. They read into it. And then gamers read into it to just yell at it. So it's nice to see people deviate from that and not portray gaming as, like, this ultra-subculture that's, like, surprisingly not killing the kids. They're like, look at this thing that they're doing that's not actually killing them. Whoa. So it's nice to read that. I got a little bit I don't know. It was just I saw it was another article about Nick and Dan becoming superstars, and I was like, nah, I've read about 100 of those. I think I'm pretty good on it. Like,
I mean, from that perspective, you're right, because every single esports publication has done something on it. But in any case, any time, I think there's some exposure in...
Oh, mainstream's good. Yeah, in different places. You're right. I'm not trying to say it's a bad thing. I was just saying, for me personally, the reason I didn't read it is I was like, ah, Nick and Dan are awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
You know, and actually, as we were kind of talking about it, in other mainstream media, USA Today, and it, of course, this is League of Legends oriented, but I want to talk with you guys about it. So USA Today broke the story that the grand finals was going to be in the Staples Center, which is amazing in and of itself. But I thought the even more amazing thing is this this newfound information that apparently League of Legends players can get a certain visa that is similar to the visas that athletes in the NFL, the NHL, and other organized sports are getting. I definitely want to hear your guys' thoughts on this because, you know, there's been a lot of people like, what the fuck? Why can't we get it? I saw the thread on Reddit. And, I think first and foremost, people should be like, hey, this paves the way no matter what. Like, I'm not sure who makes those steps. I understand that Riot did a lot of it, but I want to hear what you guys think about that, especially because you have a couple guys on your team who've actually dealt with this.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up because it's actually a really interesting subject. A lot of people were chatting up about this on Team Liquid Reddit and stuff. I'm no expert, so I'm definitely willing for people to look deeper and agree or disagree or just know that it's wrong. But from my perspective, and also what I know in terms of some of the things that happened behind the scenes, I know that Riot has been lobbying the state to get those visas for their players because they deal with that internationally as well. We just had LoL players go to Tesser Neve or Veffert, I can't actually say the name of the place, but and they were also just in Russia. They have to get visas on a pretty regular basis because that's what LCS is doing, is they're trying to evangelicize around the world, show off their stages and get people involved. But in the United States, it's kind of hard to do that because we're very close with our visas. So they've been lobbying for that. But part of the reason why it makes sense for LoL players and why it hasn't happened for StarCraft II players, which is numerous, but I'll get to that in a second. LCS also pays a salary and pays portions of rent for LCS players, which doesn't necessarily impact everyone in terms of visa. But what that does mean is that Riot has a stake through LCS in supporting the players that they bring in under these visas. So the state can look at that and say, oh, okay, they're your responsibility. There's some financial backing. If they were to go desolate or be off a team, it wouldn't then be the state's job to take on this now state-backed person and pay for their livelihood. Whereas in StarCraft II, through WCS, no salary is given and no rent is paid through the WCS system. It's a prize pool initiative, which means if you were to be like, why doesn't Blizzard go to the state and say, hey, let's get visas for all these people, these Koreans that should be coming in, the state would look at that and say, well, what happens if they... if it doesn't work out, if they leave the system or if they leave a team, then they're applying for things that the state then has to pay for that is not then backed by Blizzard or the WCS system. So I feel like that's part of the reason why, if there is any lobbying, Blizzard/WCS has not been successful. But my assumption would be that they haven't been lobbying for it, whereas Riot's been kicking down doors working at this. And like you said, paving the way. So it becomes more likely for other companies to get this because of the hard work that Riot put in.
Thorzane is someone who's had to deal with, I'm sure, visas and all sorts of passport stuff. Like, you know, what would that mean to you if suddenly I think it's a P1A is what it's called. If suddenly
it's a big one. It's like $10,000 to get on your own. Like,
yeah,
insanely like, expensive.
If suddenly it meant you never had to worry about that, you know, would that just be like a dream come true for you?
I haven't really had to deal with visas. Only once when I traveled to China. When I traveled to the States, I used like this visa waiver program, ESTA, which is really, really simple. It costs you like $10 and it takes like 10 minutes to sign up for, and it's online. You don't have to apply for a visa. And that's valid for 2 years. So it's not really a big deal for me. And since I don't live in USA, if I were to live here, like the Muslim, for example, I'd definitely be very interested in like getting a visa. I know he's tried, maybe he's already gotten one, but it's like just them recognizing even just league as a sport to get like sports visa is really cool in my opinion. It's definitely a step forward, even if it's for now only League of Legends. It might
through
only
your,
be League of Legends.
Through your visa, do you have to say that you're earning money in the States? Are they okay with that? Does that
Well, I don't. You don't have to specify anything, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay. So you're just here, like a visiting friend, right?
Yeah. Well, I actually usually. Well, I say that I play computer game tournaments when they ask me in the immigration, and they're like, "Oh, cool. Do you know Hydra?" It happened to me like once or twice.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's. It's just for clarity's sake. Not trying to get you deported or some shit, obviously,
so,
but like
this,
people don't understand that that's actually the one of the big distinctions is that you can visit a country. That's not the hard part. These
right.
visas allow these guys to come in here and be earning money and living here with rights. That's a big
right.
big deal.
Right. Earlier today, Sundance, this is just posted, I guess, at 9 a.m., said that apparently this is not just League of Legends, applies to all games on circuits with big events. Now, I'm not sure if that meant was like, can't apply for it, or this is something that can be obtained. But
I saw something I saw another article on Reddit that said all games were eligible for it, but it got downvoted because people were saying it was League of Legends only. So,
well, think about it. How could, I mean, it's case by case. It's not like
what I thought.
Riot went to them and is like, on behalf of video games, may we be recognized as athletes? And the state was like, granted, forever and ever! And they all, like, marched out, like, the games are here, the games are... No, it's not what happened. Like, it's an agreement between Riot and the State Department to get their people, like it's a whole process. It's weird that people view it this way. It's not like this was a grand jury case where all of a sudden the precedent set and then now... All you need to go is go in the office and slap down a card and be like, hey, I play video games. I would like to take one of those visas now. Thank you very much. And they're like, oh, you play video games?
Sir, what video game do you play? I play at the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church LAN party every weekend. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Well, sure. Here you go.
Onward, brave video game player. May the monies be earned and the women plentiful.
Interesting story, nonetheless.
Hey, is League of Legends being included in the 2016 Olympics? Did you guys hear about that?
Oh, damn, suppy.
I don't know.
What did you just say?
I don't know. I saw an article.
Don't you think you'd see more than just an article if that were actually true? Like, it wouldn't be something you'd ask? Because
I think there's been talk about it being... you know, every year for the Olympics, I learned this because the Global Gaming League attempted to do something called the Digital Olympics. They were actually trying to get Warcraft 3 into the Olympics. And this is with, like, the Chinese government. And so, you know, basically it wasn't going to happen. But the Olympics committee did say, you know what we will let you do is for the 8 days before the Olympics, they have all of these, like, events that want to be in the Olympics that probably will never be in the Olympics. And so it was a part of that. It was there is a name for it. I cannot remember right now, but it is, you know, it was a total disaster for reasons that were more logistics than anything, but I could see that happening. I don't know that I could see it becoming an official game. I would be fucking mind blown. Fucking mind blown. If it became an official game.
I would love... Listen, we all make a living off of video games, so I hope people understand that this is not, like, unironic. We actually hate video games, you know? I feel like there's a few steps before the Olympics. Like, I think it'd be really funny if, like, our way of getting covered on ESPN is because fucking Snoopy is standing on us, like, he's, like, holding up his fist, like, on a equal rights for video game players, and, like, he's being walked out with Michael Phelps standing behind him in a fucking McDonald's commercial. It's just... It's interesting that they even talk about it, but there's just no way. Not for a long time. I think
you can't make money and compete in the Olympics, right? So yeah, we'd have like all these fucking Bronze League heroes like fucking representing, you know, like how does that work?
Johnny's got over 7,000 minerals in the first 10 minutes. He needs to spin this. It's getting nasty.
What are the rules for the Olympics?
Like the NBA players playing the Olympics.
Because there's something about boxers.
Well, I mean, of course you can earn money because otherwise they wouldn't have the best players.
There's in some situations like...
Oh, shit, it's nerds talking about professional sports. We're not sure about it. I know what you're talking about. It's like even in hockey. We used to use college students for hockey, as I understand, but now we use pros too. And baseball,
but is boxing the only one?
I don't know. Everyone makes money, man. It's all pros, like especially you know basketball and shit. You know that.
I see.
And think about all unfortunately you're just wrong on this. Like the skiers and stuff. Those
it
are all.
Sounds
the pros.
Like I'm only half wrong, Jeff. Let's give credit where credit is due. Okay, it's better to be half wrong than fucking totally wrong. So I'll take
amateur
it on this one.
Only for boxing. So it's not that you're half wrong. It's that you're. One, like, 76th wrong, or right, of all the games that are played, boxing is, like, one of what, how many?
What, why do you have to quantify it to make me feel
Because
worse?
I want you to know how wrong you are. You know what, though? The Olympics dropped wrestling, or Greco-Roman wrestling. So maybe there is room for a game like League of Legends.
Okay. It's being clarified here, but... I see. Okay. Anyway, moving on. WCS, if you didn't know, season 2 is underway. In fact, I think that WCS AM is on right now. People message me like, how can you broadcast during WCS AM? And I'm like, dude, check the fucking timeline, man. We've been doing this since 2010 at this time slot. Like, sorry about that.
WCS encroached on us.
No. but
how can they broadcast right now? We don't have
they,
it, though.
How can they cast?
You know what I get is if I – this has actually been happening more and more often, so I want this to be like a minor PSA that goes out. I'll be like tweeting during WCS. I'll be like – this such and such show is really good, and I'll get 3 tweets back, usually. Someone like, how can you be watching that show right now when WCS is going on? I thought StarCraft's your life! And I'm like, I haven't replied just yet. This is the PSA. Like, Twitter is a random stream of consciousness for me. It's not a direct report on what I'm doing in that instance, so please. I usually am watching WCS, and StarCraft is my life. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Today I learned.
Let's start with Korea. Some crazy stuff going on over there, as always. They are in the round of 16. Only one. No, actually, none of the groups have been completed. Yes, one of the groups has been completed, Group B.
You know what? That's actually something worth talking about, just the way... So, like, last week we brought up how confusing this system could potentially be. Once we had that talk, and then I woke up at 2 a.m. last night to go watch Parting versus Soul Key, and then fucking Apollo messaged me on Skype and is like, yeah, that match doesn't matter. Parting's already out and Soul Key's through. I had no idea. Because, obviously, if you're the broadcasters, you don't tell that story. It's not like you're like, yeah, this match means nothing. You want to make it sound like it means everything. But I've been around with leagues that have those I've casted for DreamHack and they're day one. Unfortunately, a lot of times in those groups, a guy's playing for nothing but pride. He's already eliminated and he's playing a guy that's already through. And this format promotes that. So I think that's always something that tournaments, players, administrators, and even fans should look at and be a little bit critical of, in my opinion, because I'm not sure that that's a good thing. This was really confusing.
So they're doing like round robin groups.
The groups are fine, the groups around Robin, yes, but they play different sections of each group. Like group A.
Four matches a day still.
Yeah.
Groups.
From different groups.
Yeah, they should do that, but with the GSL format, I think. Like, I don't think that works in round robin. When we talked about this the previous week, I thought they did the GSL format. Because then this happens. Like, people will be eliminated, but they still kind of have to play the next week. And, like, the one guy who still has the chance to qualify, he'll have to play. Like, he'll probably be practicing every single day for, like, a week, while the other guy will be playing, like, ladder. So even if both, like, sometimes one guy's already through, sometimes, like, one guy's through and the other guy is eliminated. But sometimes one guy's eliminated, but the other guy still has a chance if he wins.
Right.
And then, like, he'll obviously play with a ton of practice, while the other guy will have no practice at all. So it's kind of unfair to the guys that it also matters for in the group. It's usually, like, if he wins, he'll advance over the other guy. And then he'll probably win because he'll be so much more prepared than the guy who's already out.
And then, ironically, Silky beat Parting anyways, even though he was totally through and Parting totally wasn't.
Yeah.
But everything you said is right. It's just it was a funny experience for me because I'm pretty fucking involved in all these things, and I was confused. I didn't understand. I was like, oh. Then I realized, and I was like, well, that's really silly.
I don't think any of us brought up the fact that that could happen last week. Like, you know, it was just like that first night had been played, and it was like, you know, whatever. I guess you get to see different stuff from every group, but then you're right. I mean, there's going to be at least three groups that'll have just completely. One, I think, could result in a tie, but and as far as the other ones, it's almost non-existent. So. I think at this point, we know that Innovation is through. We know that Solky is through. I think Bomber's automatically through no matter what. And then Maru and Supernova are already through. So that will go into the playoffs, which goes into best of fives, and then best of sevens for the semifinals. And I think those are going to be, obviously some of the better matches that we'll see throughout this competition, but I'm not sure what our breakdown's left for. There's one Protoss, four Terran, and two Zergs remaining.
It's Terrans, man.
Those Terrans, man.
Having a tough time, aren't they?
Well, they did have a group of all Terrans, so there's two that are definitely going to get through no matter what.
Oh.
And there's going to probably be another Zerg and another Protoss.
Who's I'm the other glad Protoss? Silky and Innovation are making it through.
First. Didn't first get 2-0'd by Haiva?
Yeah, yes, but he's still 2-1 in the group.
Six
the
city.
Map score.
If Rain wins versus Fantasy, then he would be tied with Haiva, and then I think it would go to heads up, in which case Rain won, so two Protoss could go through. But I'm not confirmed that it's a potential heads up.
Even if he was tied up, though, wouldn't his map score be 4-3?
No, it would be... you're right. Because yes.
I wonder if they're going to determine it by heads head to head or
I don't know. If it's head to head first, no, I think it would be map score first. But how does that work?
More confusion in the OSL format.
I guess so. We'll have to see. July 18th is when that's played. I think that's tonight. No, tomorrow night. So, EU, which I have to be honest with you guys, I think EU has the best time frame so far, has had some of the best programming, and EU is hard to miss. It's on at a great time during the day. It doesn't really interrupt anything. There's not like 20,000 things on at once. Like I said, they've did a great job in the last season. They've continued to do a great job, and I mean, I just have to say, like, EU is probably the one that I consume the most.
Yes.
Out of all the WCSs. Yeah.
In studio, great graphics. They have in-game good graphics. They have out-of-game stuff. Apollo, of course, as an anchor, is just phenomenal. I'm really excited for their offline show. I think, you know, with, like, Red Eye hosting and the talent they bring in and just the guys they have there anyways. They actually already announced that. Like, I'm happy to see Todd commentate.
And
it's just going to be good. My only complaint, and I make this complaint because I'm friends with both of them, Sean and Kolaris. It's like a, I don't know what analogy to make for this, but they become super fucking British. Super British when they're together. I've never so quickly become sensitive to one single word, and that's cheeky. Every fucking thing is cheeky all the time. And I wanted to reach through the computer with a American Pie, Bald Eagle, hamburger hand and just choke the two redcoats, choke them into submission, and then tax them on all their tea and their crumpets and and just make them pay for their crimes. But my God, they'll be like, right, bit! What is the thing about attack? He's like, cheeky, cheeky devil, cheeky devil. They just say cheeky for 30 minutes. That's it.
I was hoping to look up on Google Images something that would be, that you know, super British, but nothing good actually came. I feel like they could...
What did you Google?
I Googled super British, but nothing was really that awesome. I was totally expecting... I don't know.
No, I love them both, and they're both doing a great job, and it's not an actual issue. I just try to make fun of them every chance I get, but...
Why do you hate Kolaris and Apollo, Jeff? Let's talk about the issues that really rub you.
When I was a little boy, Kolaris took my candy. No, it's they're doing a great job, and it's nice that that Carmack and his crew invested in having two really solid in-house commentators. Like Kolaris was doing a good job by himself. But it's very much so a two-man job that you get rapport, you get the banter, and you get the production. So I'm looking at WCS, and I now see, obviously, Korea has their pairs. They have several. We've got Kolaris, Apollo, and we've got Bitter and Rotterdam, and that's a solid potential broadcast. And I know we're going to get to NA in a second, but it's starting to take the shape that I feel like it should have, and I want to just... ride in on your coattails, Wheaton, and give the same kind of tip of the hat to EU, because I feel like more so than the others from the very beginning, they've been doing a really good job.
Agreed. Agreed. So let's talk a little bit about where they're at. Still in the round of 32 with Group G played today. Since last week, we've only had Group F and Group G. And then tomorrow we have Group H to finish things off and send things into the round of 16. Along with the up and downs that will be happening soon. Last week we had Naniwa, Lucifron, Uzer, and Bly, with Naniwa and Lucifron going through. Lucifron did go down originally to Naniwa, but then came back for the win. And then today we had Vortex, Grubby, 4GG, Bunny, and I definitely felt like today's matches were highly entertaining.
Yeah,
I was surprised 4GG is out. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he lost to TBT as well, didn't he? No.
No, we lost to Vortex and to
he
Grubby.
Beat Bunny. That's right. Never mind. I was weirded out by that for a second. Yeah, Grubby pulling through. I watched all the games. His games against Vortex were very interesting, but in the game he was super ahead on Star Station. He managed to lose anyways because he did the same thing that's like every Protoss on the planet has done, and that is to look at Ultralisks and still not register them as Heart of the Swarm Ultralisks. Like, we still think they're Wings of Liberty, which is like, you idiot, you made Ultralisks. But in Heart of the Swarm, they don't take shit from nothing. So Grubby, like, has this two-base advantage. He's literally picking off everything with DTs and Zealots.
Yeah.
He has Immortals in his army, like four or five of them. He has three or four Colossus. But he didn't run for the fucking hills the second he saw Ultras, instead engaged, and he almost... Well, he did lose that game, but I'm just saying, he was miles ahead, actually, against Vortex. It was crazy.
Darzane, you watched the games?
I didn't watch any of the games.
Just surprised by the results a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, Grubby... I didn't know what the group was going to be before I checked the results. But I would have expected Vortex and 4GG, or even Bunny, because, well, this might sound wrong, because Grubby is a phenomenal player. I just, for some reason, didn't think he'd make it out of the group. Because I know he's been on vacation for a while, and just 4GG and Vortex are such good players, like, especially 4GG. He did really well last season. Didn't he finish, like, top 5 or something in the global one?
He's back in Korea right now, so he tweeted that he's having terrible lag between Korea and Europe. And I hate that excuse, but that is relevant because 4GG in Europe did easily qualify and then go very deeply in WCS EU. But here he loses in the round of 32, you know. And I don't disagree with you. I think a 4GG at home, or not necessarily home, but in Europe, maybe does make it out of this group. I picked Vortex and 4GG to advance as well.
Yeah, I don't want to take any credit away from Grubby. That's not what I was looking to do.
Suppy, did you see any of the games?
No, I had class this morning, so I'm going to be taking that.
Terrible excuse. Idiot.
God, I thought you liked StarCraft.
I had class this morning.
It's supposed to be your life.
I'm sorry.
Gosh, you know there's a Twitch app, right? Do you have a smartphone?
I have a dumb phone.
What was your class? Math 101?
MCAT preparation.
Yeah, or MCAT, just basically Math 101.
My phone.
Oh, I see.
Oh, whoa, it's you.
Oh, my God. My face is melting. But seriously, why do you have a crappy phone? You could be watching streams during your MCATs.
During my MCATs?
Yeah.
What's an MCAT?
It's a little bit bigger kind of cats, domestic. Have you ever seen those ones that look like tigers? Thorzan, have you seen those?
So he was studying.
It's
a cat. Like animal.
Medical. Yeah, they were just, like, academic test.
Okay.
What is it, Suppy?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
What if one of the fucking questions is, what does the MCAT stand for?
I think it's admissions test, too.
Oh, admissions test. Someone in chat's going to medical college admission
test. Yeah.
Gosh, that could
medical been. Children attacking diagnoses.
It's MCAT, not MCAD.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, this segment's failing all around. WCS AM. Oh, wait. By the way, I wanted to say tomorrow's group is Happy Todd, Sword of, and Titan. So we'll talk about that one next.
Another person who has to worry about crossover, Sword of's in Korea right now, I believe.
Mm.
Yes. More importantly than everything you guys just said, Bitter from the NASL stands to lose another, I think it's $25 to me, if two of those guys don't make it into the top eight of WCS EU.
Who?
Two of those guys from Group H.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's already down $150 to me. I'm looking to bankrupt the NASL from the outside. God's work.
Okay, happy.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Speaking what did you say of, the group was?
Oh. It was Happy, Todd, Sort Of, and sort Titan. Of.
Yeah, I'd say Happy and Sort Of, probably.
And let me see who.
Because other guys are Toss, right?
Happy
right?
versus Titan Jeff? And Todd
yeah.
versus Sort Of.
Todd, yeah. Toss can't win.
Yep.
Todd's got to commentate, so he can't win either.
Well, that's actually the question I was going to ask, which is kind of a weird one, is that he's been announced as commentator, but he's still in the competition?
Going to have to get solo cast himself.
Is that like betting against yourself? What if...
Yeah, I don't know, man.
What if he did commentate while playing, like some of these guys do while streaming? That'd be awesome.
That'd be a little crazy.
Todd's kind of an angry commentator, too. That'd be good.
WCS AM has started, and before we talk about the actual games, you know, Rotterdam, who's one half of the casting pair for the WCS AM this week, showed his stream key on air and had some random dude take his stream key and start streaming nonsense to his channel. Nothing bad, but it was like a guy just sort of...
Yeah.
playing goofy StarCraft, right?
Yeah.
So Rotterdam comes back on. He's laughing about it. Like, it's so funny. I accidentally showed my stream key and some fucking guy got on there. You know, everyone's laughing about it. He plays a game. And I was in the channel, like, when that first thing happened. And I went back. I was doing some work. And all of a sudden I heard, and people will know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like you just hear, just it's silence. But then all of a sudden you hear, like, and it's actually like the sound that Minecraft makes when like someone's beating a block that they're trying to break, you know? And I was like, what the fuck? Where the fuck is this Minecraft coming from? And, then all of a sudden I hear like the walk, the like, it's like this crunchy walk that happens. And then I hear, and I hear like putting down, and I'm like, what in the fuck? Like, Mini Wheat's not here. There's no mine. I open up. I'm like, where are the Twitch channels? Go back to Rotterdam. The guy, some dude's playing Minecraft. He opens up the world, and it says, "You showed your stream key again, idiot." And he was playing Minecraft on his. Anyway, the moral of this story, before we talk about WCSAM, is don't show your stream key, like Rotterdam.
My favorite part is the shamelessness of that human being. Like, so I like to do this with things. When I see a really bad movie, I like to picture like. All the people involved going home and like, honey, I want you to know. I think we're working on something really special. It's gonna change the way people see movies. And then it's like this horrible fucking movie, like Lady in the Lake or something like that. But this kid, he's like watching Rotterdam stream. It flashes up and he's like, screen capture. He's like, oh shit, I can just stream on his stream now. He's like loading it up. And he's like obviously a Rotterdam fan to
yeah,
be watching
the
stream. But in his head, the second the opportunity is there, he's like, nab it. And my favorite part, too, is he had a webcam on. He's just like, he puts a webcam on himself.
Oh, yeah.
And
zero fucks.
People were theorizing that he's not even German, but was speaking German to maybe mislead people because it was really bad German. Just the levels of it was incredible.
It was so funny.
Where do you think this goes? Like,
when I tuned in, and this guy was playing Terran, and he was like, and now we're going to show you one of my special tactics. This is where I expand to the southeast, but I build a sensor tower in the northwest. So he thinks that's where I'm expanding. And I'm like, this guy's gold, man. He needs to set up his own stream. This is fucking hilarious.
How many viewers did he manage to get on Rotterdam's stream?
I don't know. He was playing Wings of Liberty, they said, too. I don't know, just a few hundred before I think it got found, but it was pretty funny nonetheless. So anyway, WCSAM has been going on. It's taking place, as far as I know, from the Blizzard offices, because I've heard Rotterdam and Bitter both say that's where they were going for their broadcast.
From the standing desks at Blizzard, yes.
Right. Jeff, I mean, before we talk about the games, I mean, everyone's been talking about these desks look a little small. I had flashbacks to the original Masters Cup when like Scoots would troll us and like put us in the, you know, really big on like the tiny table. I got some flashbacks there. Yeah.
You know what? Good with the bad. Like the graphics, just the overall presentation, it's gorgeous. It's a great stream. Very clear. The in-game graphics is nice. They have a lead in. It seems very well produced. There's not like weird spider snafus where we like can still hear the commentators and stuff. It's very crisp, but somewhere in there, there's like some health guru, some fucking yoga master who's like, listen, guys, this is Southern California. We don't need to sit down when we work. We stand when we work, and we get our chi, and we present it, and we push it forward. Because these guys, it looks so – because every broadcast you ever see, there's people sitting, right, motionless. But I remember first time turning on the stream and you see the commentators like sway a little bit and then like shift their feet and look over here. And I thought I was on a boat and I'm like, what the fuck is going there? How are they sitting like that? And then they like lower and then raise and like sit, you know, like they're just moving around very strange for a broadcast. And then someone pointed out that they look gigantic behind the desks. And that was when it was broken for me.
You know, they do kind of look a little big to those desks.
They do.
Whatever. Those two guys do a great job as usual. And only one group has been played. Being in the round of 32, it seems like we are a little behind.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
I think it's to stagger it from EU and Korea instead of having them all in the same exact time frame.
Oh, maybe they're the third weekend or something like that for the finals.
Yeah.
Maybe they have time.
So what has been played so far is Group G featuring Oz, Scarlet, Hero, and Vibe. And then we'll talk a little bit about Group A in just a second. This was played last night, if I'm not mistaken. Oz and Scarlet advancing out of that group. And I did this actually. I only watched a couple of the VODs but you guys want to talk a little bit about this
I watched
games?
It all. Yeah, I mean, Hero, the champion from the previous season, who it's not like he's become worse since then. If anything, I think he's gotten better. Gets this group of... it's a pretty insane group. Like, Scarlet Oz, Hero is just... No disrespect to Vi, but those are three tournament winners, like three people that you argue for being some of the best in their region. Obviously, Oz in Korea falls off a little bit, but I do think Hero is one of the best Protosses in the entire world. Just absolutely insane. But we start off with an upset with Oz, our boy, 2-1-ing Hero after being 0-1, which is an incredible result. Scarlet takes care of business with Vibe, and then Oz quickly cheeses in like 10 minutes total time Scarlet, and he just advances. And I think he was not picked by many people to advance. I'm pretty sure the favorites were Hero and Scarlet, right, respectively. But then I think the biggest upset was, not necessarily the biggest upset, but I think the biggest result was Scarlet beating Hero the way she did. Like, all three games were fun and good to watch. And then the third one's just a heartbreaker because you can feel the emotion coming off of Hero. It's nice for Scarlet to win because you always want a foreigner to do well, and Scarlet's one of those people that carries the flag of potentially the best foreigner. But to beat Hero like that on Aklon Waste was incredible.
For those that didn't get to see it, and I mean, Suppy obviously is friend and even training partner, right, Scarlet. Can you tell us about this third game?
Third game, so she had been watching Vibe play against Hero the game before, and Vibe had gone Cannon Rush from the low ground on Aklon. So she knew it was a possibility, but she didn't actually think it was going to happen. But she opened pool first. I believe she opened pool first in anticipation of some other build. But what happened was he cannon rushed without even scouting the natural. So he literally cannon rushed a natural that didn't have a hatchery there. So she went ahead and Baneling busted. And actually, like, it seemed like it was just going to finish right there. But she only got like 4 lings inside or something. She had a little bit of hesitation, lost like 3 lings to the cannon. So the game continued on from there, but it was a really weird opening. But I think overall, Scarlet did manage to get pretty ahead from it because Hero's Nexus was just so far delayed. Yeah. What else happened? Yeah.
Again, like, well, I did see the Oz match that go down, and you know, Hero after the whole thing tweeted, you know, like, oh my God, I think he actually said "fuck my life" or something to that effect. Like, I can't even believe it. Did you guys think that he was playing like?
Then Scarlet retweeted, by the way.
Yeah, Scarlet retweeted.
Oh, really? Really?
That's the juicy part you're missing out on.
Nice.
She explained it's because last time they played in a tournament, she beat him, and he left with no GG, and only said "Zerg Imba," which is worth mentioning because if we go way back to the NASL Team League, where I commentated the grand finals of Thorzane against Hero, Thorzane and Hero butted heads a little bit too, which is like the weirdest bad manner situation I've ever seen in my life.
Really? That was because of Bumblebee made me so pissed before the games. I don't remember why, but it had something to do with him.
Fair enough.
Wasn't really Hero's.
You're forgiven, Thorzane.
Yes, we forgive
you. Someone kicked.
So, Oz and Scarlet advance. Now we're in Group A live right now. Major, I think, facing off. No.
No, Ryong against Nesty.
Nesty, yeah.
Jim beat Major, right?
Jim 2-0. Did beat Major.
Yep. Yes.
Oh. I heard a lot of, like, when I was listening to the stream, I muted it now, like, Rotterdam and Mr. Bitter were hyping Jim so much. And I haven't really, well, he's Chinese, so it's really hard to keep track of him. But, well, he definitely lived up to the hype, beating up
Nesty. He did well on the Korean ladder, so that's why everyone talks about him.
Okay. Well, apparently he's doing quite well in WCS as well.
I think
beating Nesty 2-0, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was 4-0 in total.
Oh, yeah.
With 4 timing attacks. 6 city.
Was it really against Major as well?
Mm-hmm.
I just saw...
Well, he survived an all-in for Major, and then Yeah, then he did a timing attack on Belshir Vestige, just like a 6 gate or something like that.
So you know why I lost to Hello Kitty, guys, right? Because he copied his builds from Jim.
Oh.
So that's why.
You're not
did
forgiven.
Did he copy something. that one where he just made a bunch of DTs and kind of attack moved at you?
Okay, maybe that was a Hello Kitty special, but...
That's what I called it, and he got upset at me. It was funny. I was playing a Zerg on ladder, and I was just like... I was like, well, I've never tried this before, and I was like, I'll call it the Hello Kitty special. So instantly, like, seven people tweet at him and message him, and he's like, watch this, and he tunes in, and he's like, why'd you call it the Hello Kitty special, Jeff? And I was like, because I made DTs and attacked.
And then he insists that he always plays macro games and never chooses.
Yep.
It's always funny.
Always.
I'm pretty confident that Major's going to make it out of the group, though. He beat Ryung 2-0, which I think was actually kind of unexpected, but if that means if Ryung beats NST, Major should have a lot of confidence going into facing Ryung again. And
did you see the games?
I saw the games, but...
How were they? I saw the second game, Ryung against Major, and it seemed like... Well, I didn't finish watching. I just saw the first, like, 5 minutes, and that game seemed kind of...
Ryung-ish.
But, like... Ryung was ahead?
Well, first game, Major was ahead pretty much the whole game. And second game, Ryung was quite ahead after a battle. Pretty sure. I don't really know TVT that well, so...
Okay. Yeah, Major is a really good player, but, like, I wouldn't... Like, saying that he's likely to beat NST... And that he's the favorite against NST and Ryung...
I know it's something that's, like, probably controversial, but I don't know. I have faith in Major. I practiced quite a bit with him for NST. And first time we practiced, I, like, 5-0'd him easy. And then he, like, watched some replays or something. He, like, got some replays from Korea. Yeah, basically. And then he, like, destroyed me, like, the next day, like, really easily. So I think he says he's actually more confident against NST than anybody so in that group. So I'm hoping he makes it through.
Yeah, good luck to him.
Yeah,
and soon, yeah. Yeah. I'll be watching for sure. I really like watching Major play.
Hey, I got bad news for you guys. These games were played 3 weeks ago, or 3 months ago, excuse me, so I actually already know the results.
Oh. Yep. Yeah. Major wins.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Let's see. Coming up in some other groups that are somewhat exciting, let me look here. I guess let me just bring them up. I don't know if you guys are looking at them, but... what's the next one? The groups are not necessarily being played in order. So G played first, then A. Tomorrow's group C, then E. So Alicia, Apocalypse, Minigun, Neeb, Revival, Violet, Huansen, Top. You don't play for like a week, Suppy.
What's your group, Conan?
Alive, Theognis, Sage.
Just hit me up if you need to practice some.
Good luck.
Oh yeah, sure.
And then Crank the Muslim Huck and the STC are going to be in the other group. Oh, Snoop Puck, like said.
I have faith in you, Soapy. J-Dong.
No, you're a big meanie.
You're going to take top. You're going to take top four.
Oh,
in that group
you're a
for
big
sure.
meanie. I hate you.
I don't like you right now. Pro League is entering into the almost final matchup as Woongjin Stars waits for an opponent that will either be KT Rolster or STX Seoul. The final matches actually are this weekend. Excuse me. It could be the final two matches up to the finals for KT Rolster and STX Seoul this weekend. Then the finals would be on August 3rd.
I'm still amazed at how STX, when I was in Korea and we were halfway through the Pro League, they were like in the bottom three teams, and now they're actually a contender to win the whole thing. Such a great comeback.
They also what? Well,
they switched, they like went through a heavy phase of all kill and innovation carried big time, but they also had some other players catch fire, like Deer is a legitimate player, like one of the better Protosses right now. They have Roro, right?
No, he's from Samsung. Roro?
Yeah.
Who's the other Zerg? Who's the Zerg?
They have Hyva.
Yeah, Traps good too. They just have a surprisingly deep roster. There's some Zerg. It must have been Hyva. I don't know why I thought he was Roro, but they have a pretty solid, decent, deep roster, and it's weird because they're one of the more underrated teams. You know, like KTF gets all the attention because of Flash. SKT1, for obvious reasons, has the lineup, but they're like a middle-of-the-pack team, all things considered. Well, I guess not all things considered, but just not like top tier like you would expect. And the other funny one's Woongjin Stars, too. Like, I look at their lineup, and I'm like, it makes sense now, but going into Pro League, nobody was hyped up about Woongjin Stars. They just were surprisingly good.
Who do you guys think is going to win, KT or STX?
STX. Easy.
Well, you know me, and they got innovation, so KT.
No, you know, though, because you're so frugal.
You know what? I would say KT, but I bet you. I bet you that Artosis said that KT was going to win because Myungsik is on that team. So I'm going to have to go with STX Seoul.
Who's Myungsik
as well?
He qualified for IEM, right?
Yeah, he's a good Protoss. He went 1-2 against Innovation, and he won on Neoplanet S in a really convincing fashion. Then was like, "How about I do two terrible cheeses and lose horribly?"
Yeah,
and then he lost 1-2.
Yeah, unfortunately. They got definitely a super deep roster, but maybe not an as accomplished roster. But anyway, what are our final things? It was announced that Red Bull Training Grounds is heading off to Orlando. I believe that's happening at the end of the month. I'll be joining those guys over there this time around. We got DreamHack Valencia this weekend. If you guys recall the trailer, it's now officially released to YouTube. Taking a look at what we've got in our player list. I don't know if you guys have looked recently, but
it's good.
Quite a good player list on there.
Yeah, it's DreamHack, man. They're gonna put on a great show. I'm happy to have Smix translating. She's gonna be sharing some stage time. That's gonna be really cool. Great commentators as always. But some people were ragging on the playlist and that or player list. And I think it's just because we're accustomed to like gigantic, amazing rosters. It's kind of hard to get to Valencia, and this is getting towards mid-season where people are a little bit tighter with their budgets, so it makes sense, but I think people shouldn't underrate it. I think it's going to be a great tournament. Players, casters, everything.
I mean, I honestly think, based off the players list, this is going to be... It'll still be a highly entertaining tournament. I don't know how you could look at this player list and go, probably won't be that great. I mean...
Suppy's going, right?
No, I'm not going.
Chris is going though.
Chris, J-Dong, JYP.
JYP, yeah.
It'll be fun to see JYP. He's actually been doing really well in Pro League.
We haven't seen him in a while.
And he's just, we haven't seen him in a while. Whereas last one was... he was our guy. I think last Born tournament was Asus, right? A long time ago.
No. I believe he went to Dallas.
MLG Dallas. Right. He was at DreamHack, yeah.
DreamHack Stockholm.
As far as like contenders, based off of Naniwa's performance, some think that he can, you know, continue that momentum and find victory at DreamHack. Of course, you've got Stardust returning. And
one of Stefano's last tournaments.
Yes.
I think his second last. He's going to play
even on the player. He's not on the player.
He's gone. He's gone.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, favorites, J-Dong, White Raw, Grubby, the Duran Twins. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I believe that it officially starts... Does it start Thursday or does it start... No. It does start Friday.
It's hard to tell with DreamHack. They do the weird things.
Some days it's on... No, it's Friday. Yeah. Friday. So that's going to be one of those early ones on Fridays. What do you mean Grubby isn't a favorite? Who the fuck is this guy in chat? Grubby isn't a favorite. Do you know how fucking big Grubby is in China? It, like, doesn't even matter how big or how much of a favorite he is in StarCraft 2. Grubby is so much more of a favorite.
He means favorite to win is what that guy means.
Oh. You know what? That's why the context
is... Wheat meant fan favorite.
Ooh, fan favorite is what I meant. Fan favorite. All right, McGrackzoo, I apologize to you. How about
to defend
that?
Wheat.
I don't do that very often.
For interpreting that, but not saying White Raw first. Grubby is way more competitive than White Raw, you stupid idiot.
In all fairness, I did say Grubby after saying... So, okay.
Yeah. I got you back, Wheat.
I was looking. I was like holding on to this rage the whole time. I was just hoping someone would light the fuse. No, I feel good now that I got it out. Okay, it's all good. We can move on.
Stand down, soldier.
Mick Graxu, man. All right. Oh yeah, this was posted on Reddit, dude. Your boy Jadong.
Yeah, 90%.
What's up with this guy, man? What's up with this
guy? He's incredible, man. Yeah, he's incredible. It's really cool to see. He's got a 90% win ZVZ. It's like 68% ZVT and then 48% ZVP. So he gets really good attention for ZVZ, but then he still gets all the like every time he's against a Protoss, people are like, "Well, here we go." And I don't blame him because sometimes he just falls flat. But sometimes he puts those series together. So I hope he clicks ZVP because then he'll be the Jadong that we all know and love.
All I can think about Jadong ZVP is that Kespa Invitational that took place at Anaheim, where he had that like just the worst attack up a ramp on
Ohana.
On Ohana, yes, on Ohana. It was just like the are you doing? And then that was the foreshadowing.
God, Wings Liberty was so bad, though. Do you remember that? It was all Immortal Shoves, and then it was like all Broodlord, Ling, and Fester. It was just... You took me back a dark path. At least in Heart of the Swarm, we have really cool games now with diversity.
The good old days.
Good old days for me.
Bad old days.
Ugh, you did it in every matchup, too. You were a dirty whore.
What? Not
in every matchup. That was in Pro League. Broodlord,
Ling,
okay.
And Fester every single game, ZVT and ZVP, and then in ZVZ... If you
I made Banelings. I made Mutalisks.
Yeah, just for this argument, like 2 years later, like that's why you did it. I used to when I played you on ladder, there was a good couple months where you didn't realize this, but every time I played you, I'd blindly go charge lot Archon because I knew you were going Ling Infester just every time in War Prism.
But Mass Spinecrawler still beats it, anyways.
Yeah, Zergs didn't lose a whole lot at the end of Wings of Liberty, my friend, did they? I have one thing before we go to phones, Wheat.
What? What's up?
So just to talk about it real quick, today the charity was announced, the eBay charity, between Curse, EG, Root. I think that's it. But it's pretty cool, and I've been authorized to say a few things. I don't know like full answers, but what I do want to... There's people out there that are thinking like, whoa, another one of these. We haven't done all the tiers yet for Papa John's. Please know that the EG and everybody else that's doing those is aware of that. They will do them. That's what they tell me. I'm not in charge of getting it done, but I've been told to tell you guys that it will happen. It's just that it's kind of hard because every tournament or team is so busy, but that's an excuse and they know that. So hopefully they get it done sooner rather than later. But also... We hit Papa John's really fucking hard, and we got really good results, and so far we haven't reported on them yet, but Alex wanted me to assure people that they are working on it, and they've been in talks with Papa John's, and I guess for people outside of like the corporate side of gaming, but really just the corporate side of anything, big companies take fucking forever to do anything. Like, you send them an email, or you're like, hey, let's do this thing. They're like, sure, let me talk to my boss, and then that guy's got to talk to his boss, and that lady has to talk to her boss, and that guy's got to talk to his boss. And so on and so forth, and it keeps on going forever. So just know your efforts have been heard. They will be rewarded. And this campaign is purely a charity. It's just kind of a cool initiative to see if we can't do some good in the world and at the same time show eBay that we're willing to work with them and do things with them, and we're a worthwhile business adventure. Venture, not adventure. I kind of like my
version. We're an adventure where there's alligators and swamp pits that you must.
So in the next couple weeks, you're going to hear about. It's not going to be a giant Twitter campaign, you know. Like that got pretty. That was really aggressive. This is just going to be when you tune into some of our streams. We're going to be talking about listing things on eBay, and all the money spent on eBay through these links will then be donated to charity. But also, if we can match $5,000, eBay will send also $5,000 to a charity. So we're going to raise something like $20,000.
Doesn't the charity get selected by whoever wins the one versus one
League of Legends
competition?
Yeah. A League of Legends tournament will determine who it goes.
Right. So each player in the one versus one league tournament will basically benefit a different one, as far as I can tell.
And it's all on, what was that website, actually? We tweeted earlier.
I actually just Googled it.
eBayCharity.gg.
eBayCharity.gg.
There you go.
So I'll be talking about it on my stream. But like I said, I just wanted to rest people assured that we're not forgetting about our other promises. They're still there. And this is just purely a charity to raise money for good causes. So hopefully people can get on board about it.
Word. All right. Let's open the phones then. Let me... Bam. Bring that up. You can reach us via phone, 909-581-8509. Or you could Skype us if you know how. But it's only the elite few who actually do. Anything this week? There's something else I wanted to bring up with you guys that I failed to write down. But I guess I've forgotten it now.
You've been playing Terran?
Yeah, I didn't play Terran very well last night, though, on Kings of 10, Suppy. I was a little disappointed in myself. I think I was trying too much to do one versus one builds, which is just dumb. And then I forgot they nerfed Hellbats. Fuck. God damn it. Thorzane,
like... Now you have to make Widow Mines.
Yeah, that's true, but... I mean, Thorzane, are you doing any Blue Flame Hellion, or are you just kind of like, whatever?
Intivity?
Yeah, well, I guess...
I still go mech. Like, you'd still... You'd open up differently, but then it'd still end up in... Hellbat, tank, medivacs, drops. But now you can go by openings as well. Before it was like... If you go by opening, you can work, but like you hope not to get Hellbat dropped. Now it's like, since the Hellbats aren't a problem in the early game, but there's still definitely something to be worried about in the middle late game. Gotcha. Activity. Gotcha. You can still it opens up a lot of possibilities in builds.
All right, we got a few phone calls starting to roll in, so let me take one of these. Let's take our first one. Area code 646. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hello, how you guys doing up?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I'm great. I just want to ask you guys a question real quick.
Sure.
The hashes you guys use, why don't you use the 830s instead of the 840s? Like, why do you use the 840s instead of the 830s? Any particular reason or whatever? And I just want to give a shout out to Halo 4. You already know.
All right.
Thank you for your call. It's left to the preference of the players in general, which they find more comfortable and which they prefer. Usually, when we get sponsored by someone, it's not like you're handed a Razer Abyssus and this is what you must use. The other guys can answer for themselves, but for me personally, I actually find this really comfortable, and I think it's a good balance between like. The A30 is a little bit of a step down, so its quality in terms of sound and mic is less, in my opinion, than the A40. And then the A50 is ridiculously big and heavy, and it's wireless, so I feel like it's too much technology for my feeble caveman hands. So this is like the perfect balance.
I think I'd be pretty qualified to answer this question because I was wearing the A30 for a very, very long time, and I just switched. I started off with the A40, went back to the A30, and then tried the A40 again. So I can say that the A30 does have some advantages. One of the advantages, at least for me, is that it's closed back, which means that the noise isolating is a lot better, so you don't hear background noises as much. But the advantage of the A40 is, A, it's a lot more comfortable because it's bigger. And also, if you're an audiophile, open back... even though it does let more outside noise in, is supposed to give you a better sound quality. So it's really a cost. It's a trade-off between which you prefer.
Nice.
For me, when I was in Korea, we were initially sponsored by Astro. We got a box with A30s and A40s. And obviously, the A40 sounds way cooler than the A30 because it's like a higher number. It's got to be the better thing. So I've never even tried the A30. I just... immediately started using the A40. I don't know anything about A30.
I actually like that thought process, Thorzane. I mean, pretty much like I'm buying a TV. There's an 8,000, a 7,000, a 6,000 model. 8,000 is the higher number. It's got to be a better TV.
Yeah, especially if you get it for free because you're sponsored. Like, you'd obviously take the 8,000 one.
Right.
Thorzane, did you get these Monster Water Bottle 2.0s? If not, I can sell it to you. It's actually twice as good. And normally it's $200, but I'll sell it to you for $100.
By the way, I want to thank E.G. Cody for that last call. Let's go ahead and take our... No, I'm just kidding. I don't... Area code 443, hello, and welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hi. I have a question about Pro League.
Sure.
So I really like watching StarCraft, and commentary is a big part of why I like watching it. And every time I feel I want to watch Pro League to get the matches and try to learn from them. But I also don't like watching Pro League because I feel I have to watch it on mute because of the level of commentary.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of people say that.
Oh, he's talking about the commentary for Pro League?
Yeah.
My friend, I think at some time there will have to be a real talk, but it can't be now.
I mean, yeah. You don't ever listen, do you?
Me?
No, the caller. You don't ever listen to him, do you?
I did. I bought the subscription and watched like two matches, I guess, and then I stopped after that.
Oftentimes, I'll just like play some like rad music while I'm watching and just mute the stream.
You guys are missing out. It's like Pee Wee Herman does StarCraft. It's actually really fun to listen to.
I think Nathanius used to do casting on it, right? I don't know if he still does it, but that's an alternative you could look into. That's how he got popular, I think.
I don't know what to tell you, man. Except for if you ever find a bottle and you rub it and a genie comes out, think about using one of your wishes for that, okay? All right. All right, man. Hey, thanks for the call.
All right.
Take care. Bye. But for the third wish the genie back in the bottle, which means you only get one wish. Trust me. Wish the genie back into the bottle, Thorzane. Because genies will fuck you up. They
will.
Are not to be fucked with, yes.
Yeah.
Aren't they supposed to disappear after you did your three wishes?
What?
Yeah, but the wishes fuck you up, man.
No, actually, not after you do your wishes. If you do not use your third wish to put the genie back in the bottle, then the genie is, at that point, free to go. And any other lore that says otherwise is full of fucking shit.
So what? Then it's free. Then I've saved the genie's.
No, because then existence. The genie will just be like, I'm going to take over the world because I'm a fucking super powerful genie. That's what they do.
No way, man. It doesn't get
yes.
released
yes.
once you've used your... It's like, yes, then it waits. Have you ever seen Aladdin?
Dude.
What did you just say? What the
didn't,
shit?
Wouldn't you
did
want
you just
to have like an Aladdin genie,
oh
genie
my
following
God.
You around? He's like a cool guy.
Aladdin, yeah. That
Aladdin?
Aladdin.
What, do you think
Aladdin.
He would...
They don't even say Aladdin in the movie.
Well, shut up.
Aladdin. All right.
What did it say? Aladdin?
Aladdin.
Aladdin? How do you...
Aladdin! Come inside! I'll be right there!
How do you pronounce that name?
Aladdin. It's Aladdin.
Well, how do you pronounce it, like, if you're Arabic?
What?
Arabic.
Arabic? Aladdin, Arabic. Yeah. All right, I'm going to take another call while we figure this out. Area code 847, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. You're on the air. What's up?
Oh, shit. Am I actually on right now?
You are.
All right. Okay. All right, then. Shit. Well, I just had a question. Oh, my God. I'm a little confused right now. I'm like... listening to the stream.
Right. Why don't you write down the question or something? Like you.
What?
You should have written.
All right. I got my question. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I was just wondering what you thought, what you guys thought about teams in Pro League having, like, there are teams like StarTail in ESS that have, like, a really stacked lineup. And in the GSPL format, they do a lot better. But then you have really stacked teams like SKT1 and Pro League, and they got eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. And I was just wondering why you think, if you guys had any opinions on why that happened in the different format, when it seems like they should when both formats should encourage a really stacked roster.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I would say that it's obviously got to do with format, but I mean, just kind of like you said, I don't know. Suppy, no. Do you have?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the question.
Can you please rephrase that?
You want me to rephrase it?
Yeah.
Okay, so in both formats, you have teams that are obviously much more stacked, or what you would consider players that finish higher at tournaments, and just in general have more individual success. But when it comes to the team league, I mean, obviously it can just be preparation or something like that. But why?
The ESF teams have players that do really well in the GSL and the WCS, and the Pro League have deeper rosters, but we don't see them performing as well individually. Is that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Jeff, or Thorzane, or Suppy?
I got nothing.
Your thoughts?
So the question wasn't why some players perform well in team leagues but bad in individual leagues?
Why specifically the ESF teams have better performers overall than, say, a deeper and maybe larger roster that would be on some of the KESPA leagues?
Do they have better performance overall?
This, I believe, was something that was assumed by the caller. But if you do look at, like, I mean, past results, that's somewhat true. I mean,
if ESF guys have gone to more tournaments for longer periods of time, and they send more players, like KESPA Dice, they only send...
I mean, for example, this MLG, there was only 3 KESPA players, right? Because they had a tournament of who was allowed to go. But, like, ESF had an unlimited amount of players that they could send. I don't know how many actually went. Polt ended up winning. Oh, former ESF player.
Texan player now.
Yeah, American. I guess, like, against Hyun in the finals. So that's 2 ESF players. But, like, if overall, I don't think that ESF has that much better results than KESPA. But I don't really know. Like, for example, WCS... There's like KESPA, the previous season, like Innovation, Solki, and...
I don't know, sorry, I guess I just did not, I can't really explain the question well, but I appreciate you guys still trying to answer as best as you can.
All right, hey, sorry, man, you can always, if you,
keep up work.
Maybe fire us an email inside the game, or
right.
ITG,
fire
one more
DJ
game.
An email, yeah.
.tv.
Okay. Yeah. See you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, man.
Oh, my God.
Dude, hey, listen. All right? Okay? He just took the fucking biggest rip off of his 6-foot plastic graphics bong that's bright purple. He, like, shoved a bunch of ice cubes down it, you know, to get himself a really good just...
And then literally, like, when he was in this state is when he picked up his phone and, like, called. And as I was picking up, he's like,
oh my God. Oh, my God. I'm on. So what's going to happen is he will write me that email in about an hour and a half when he is now down before he takes another 6-foot bong hit. And
It shows how good of a host you are, though, because you knew to throw to Suppy, who would give the most painfully honest but awkward answer possible, which is just to, like, huh? I don't understand any what he said. Nothing. I got nothing. Which then allowed me to hear this guy's 15-minute speech that barely made any sense to go, could you please rephrase? And he's like, yes, I'll try that. So, like, there's 2 good teams and people. Like, I was like, yes. Shout out to that guy, though. He was brave and he was honest and he was honest.
He was.
I expected a troll and he had a good question. Like, I get what he's getting at, but there is no answer. I mean, the answer is not going to be, like, we all unanimously agree ESF players are better or they train better. We probably feel like that might even be close to the opposite. It's just that in a lot of these tournaments, they're more comfortable. I mean, you have to think about this, I guess, to give him somewhat of an honest answer. Kespa guys are probably the least used to traveling away from Korea and then playing in a non-Korean style tournament, which is not like Pro League or GSL where it's like one match a week, but rather 12 hours of sustained competitive StarCraft. Yeah. ESF guys have done that.
All right, we got our next caller. We got area code 510 on the line. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. You're on the air.
That's here.
Berkeley, hey.
Berkeley.
Hello.
This is Suppy's neighbor. Hi. I'm the one knocking on your wall. Oh, hi. Hi, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, am I on the air?
You're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, so my question is, this is mostly because we have a bunch of EG guys on, but I'm a fan in the Bay Area, and I know EG is looking at moving to the Bay Area, and I'm wondering if you guys are going to be running any, like, community events for fans in the Bay Area, because they don't like.
That is the plan, my friend. We have an office here. We have, well, I don't know if I can, I'm so stupid. Anyways, we're all moving here. Yes. And, a lot of us are really excited about encouraging the organization to host like bar crafts or get togethers or different things like that. So just know that that is being talked about, but I could never give you a date or tell you that it's going to happen soon or something like that, because I don't think that'd be honest or fair.
In terms of outside,
see if that was kind of on the docket.
Excuse me.
What's that?
Just wanted to kind of see if that was something that was like on your guys' docket of plans you're making.
I think definitely is what Jeff was saying. I was stopping. Yeah. What were you going to add?
I was just going to say, outside of EG, I mean, there's also a lot of events that go on. There's bar crafts that already go on. I'm organizing, like, my land that I have, like, 5 golds in. So you can come watch me win another. You could come watch me win another one. Our club on campus in Berkeley just organizes events every now and then, like bar crafts and stuff. So you should definitely come check it out. You can find it on Team Liquid or join the Facebook group. Esports at Berkeley. Hopefully EG will start doing official events as well. But for now, that's another alternative you can do. There's a LAN coming up at the end of August. So
yeah.
All right, the root awesome. Players will be going. Yeah.
Thank you for your call, cool. Man.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Hold on. I'll let you finish.
What's up?
Yo, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? You're on the air.
What's up, dude? All right, I got a question for you guys. That's kind of not anything related to what the last two people have talked about, but
that's
ceremonies.
Fine.
What do you guys think about ceremonies and how, like, when they happen, how do the players accept them? Like, I know the fans love it, but kind of want a player perspective on, like, why we do or don't see ceremonies as much as maybe we should just for pure entertainment factor.
Wait, is that? What the hell was that?
Wheat, try to move on. It was a quick brain surgery going on in the background, man. No big deal. Just cracking the skull.
Ceremony.
Hey, great question, by the way. I saw a couple threads on this. In general, when you're on the losing end of a ceremony, you're pissed and it sucks and you hate it. But when you're a player in the audience and you see a ceremony, you collectively say, oh shit or oh damn, because it's kind of cool and it's exciting and the crowd loves it. So ceremonies are great, and they're really fun, and I think they bring a lot of flavor to a game that otherwise, like, how many times do we see both players, like, get up and, like, thank you, and then they, like, bow and walk away? Like, I'd rather have MMA. I was actually on stage when I saw MMA throw a fucking Hadouken at Idra. Or no, that was Boxer, excuse me. And it was amazing. Oh, the place shoot. Blew up. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in StarCraft 2. So I think they're awesome. But I've also... See, you know, like, I can just tell you, players don't like it when it happens to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was just on my mind recently just because, I mean, it wasn't really a ceremony, but just when, after Paul did the whole thumbs down at MLG to Nanuan, and he went to try and shake his hand, Nanuan was obviously kind of bitter about it. But I just, to say the least.
In general,
yeah,
we don't poll players' opinions on Nanua's reactions to anything. So, but yeah,
Well, yeah, obviously not. But I mean, I guess we could just go for anyone. But yeah, I mean, thanks for answering the question. I guess that's really all I got. Just wish we could see more ceremonies. Thor Zane, looking at you.
Yeah, right. He's looking at you.
Thanks,
he's looking
man.
At me.
Appreciate it. He's gone. Suppy or Thorzane, like, do you have, like, you know, have you ever...
I'm a big anti-fan of in-game ceremonies, like dropping mules and dropping mules. I like... It just, yeah, it just really grinds my gear and I really hate it. Like, even if I'm not playing the game, I see someone do it against someone else and like, oh, that made me 50%, that made me like this person 50% less.
Can I ask you a question, Thorzane? Because I actually have this massive gaming pet peeve when it comes to FPSs. And okay. It's when people use fucking smiley faces. It's like, look, okay, in FPSs, we're in this arena to kill each other. Don't be putting any goddamn smiley faces in chat after you kill me. That is that shit is bullshit. Yeah. Hey,
like sometimes that happens, like in StarCraft 2, like maybe you do some kind of build involving like dropping two medevacs really early, and then he kills them both with like just random thing, and then it's like smiley, smiley, and then like, okay, I'm gonna keep playing this game. And I'm going to play my fucking best ever, but just because I want to just, like, shut you up and write a smiley myself when I beat you. That's like, it just motivates me to play, like, Flash.
So that's why it's a good thing that we have those, even though it grinds your gears.
So
Tasia, did he BM'd someone?
But they never do it in the early side of, in the early part of the game, do they? Like, they kill my scouting SCV and it's, like, smiley. Sometimes it happens on ladder, but, like, that wouldn't happen in a tournament. It's only like, oh, I'm 200 supply, you're 50 supply, get the hell out of my game.
Yep. I think it's really funny when, like, people do it, though. Like, at least from a spectator point of view, because, like, Teja did against Elfie, I think, in DreamHack, and then Elfie, like, came around and, like, beat him. So it just makes it really funny, right? And,
It was awesome. A waste opportunity, though, because Elfie's, like, the nicest guy anyways, so he just silently beat him anyways and moved on. But, like, I would have torn my shirt down the middle and been, like, standing over spitting at him and stuff like that. Like, It adds flavor. Like, in general, I always, you know, I'm kind of famous for when people don't GG me when I'm streaming. I message them to remind them, and I just GG in the message.
You're one of those people.
Oh, yeah. And they always go, why'd you do that? Obviously, I didn't feel like it was a GG. That's why I left. And I'm like, well, I thought it was. And I have some of the best conversations ever. Yeah. But this just yesterday, I had one where a guy, I 3-0'd him, and after each game, he didn't GG, so after each game, I GG'd him. And finally, he's like, you know what? I live in San Francisco. Give me your address. I'm going to beat your ass. And I was like, and then I did. And he didn't show. But anyways.
He didn't?
But I gave him
your address?
I told him I was going to Pacific Rim, and I told him the theater and at what time I'll be there. And if he wanted to beat my ass, to please come. And then he ended up apologizing.
And he's like, no, I need your address specifically. I have to go there.
Yeah. Okay. It's pretty funny. That was my old favorite. Because in the Wild West of Brood War, we were always threatening to beat each other up. That was my favorite back in the day. It was like, yo, dog, I heard you're going to WCG, like, Los Angeles. I'll be there in 7 months. Let's do this. And then you show up and both guys are quietly, like, never saying a fucking word. Like, not a word.
Yeah.
It's happened many, many times. All right, we're taking area code 602. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Inside the Game. I have two questions.
Yes. Question one.
Question one is, outside of innovation and Flash, who do you believe is a really good source of Terran inspiration, maybe European or American?
I like Lucifron. He has really good builds.
So I would say.
And he's a great player, but like I like watching him because of like he plays very smart.
MVP maybe? The Jurgen?
Well, I guess I would say outside of Lucifron as well, because he has really good game sense as well as innovation and Flash. MVP has really good builds.
I'd say probably DeMuslim. He's the number one EG Terran. He's the number one European Terran. And just in terms of living in California or close to...
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it.
I'm just kidding, Thorzay.
You know, actually, no disrespect to Thorzane and to Muslim, but I personally think that what you need to do is you need to wait till Pain User's been streaming for about 49 hours, and then you need to watch him, because then fucking you're seeing Terran strats that you never knew existed, I'm telling you. And I'm being so serious right now. You have no idea.
But strategy of passing out.
Gotta give an example. Like, what's a Terran build you never knew existed?
I'm just curious on that point, where it's everybody talks about innovation and Flash, so.
I have to say Lucifron was the other name that immediately came to mind. So I mean, outside of that, I don't know. I mean, you're still quite a few good Terrans out there, but as far as who's actually innovating. Yeah, what was your second question, caller?
I had a second question, and I forgot it, so okay. That's it.
That's okay. All right,
bye.
All right, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
DJ Wheat brings out the greenies, man. These guys from Reddit. Every time you fucking tweet it, Wheat, these guys show up like, yeah, I got a question that I'm thinking of right now.
Oh my god. Okay, let's take another one. Holy shit. Holy shit. Area code 517, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hi there.
Hi.
Sorry, my audio's a little bit buggy here.
We hear you just fine. Can you hear us?
Alrighty. Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay,
sorry,
great,
just
great. No problem.
Yeah, let me turn my volume up real quick. I'm sorry, kind of a crap phone. Alrighty, question for you guys. So the StarCraft scene came from a lot of different RTSs when StarCraft II came out. They came from all over, from Brood War, from Warcraft III. I'm curious what you guys think the future holds for us when more RTS games start coming out. For instance, we have Planetary Annihilation in the works, which is, you know, this massive scale project that really kind of changes the whole idea of the game. So what do you guys think is, like, the possibility there?
First off, fantastic question. I mean, really, really good question. Because this, I mean, even though we know that StarCraft II still has a whole nother expansion, and then who knows what kind of a life it has beyond that, there are a few other RTSs on the horizon, and there's also a few RTSs that are also going for the free-to-play model, you know, so they can try to get in the hands of as many people as possible. And I definitely want to hear, for you know, the thoughts on Thorzane supping in control. But I've mentioned this before, and I honestly think that game designers who are working on RTSs need to do one thing. They need to fucking copy StarCraft or copy Warcraft and copy the whole concept of, you know, working on building the economy and then balancing your army. And I know that seems so simple, and it's like, well, other, you know, other games have attempted to do this, but it's only Warcraft and StarCraft that have really, 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 really got it right in terms of it translating then to a competitive game that people are going to want to watch, that people are going to want to play, that can evolve, etc. And I can't believe that a company hasn't just been like, we can copy StarCraft. You know, people copy fucking Call of Duty all the time. People copy all these other games all the time. I don't get why someone's not trying the exact formula that Blizzard did to basically make StarCraft what's good about. Three races, balanced well, focus on economy, army. You know, I don't know that any RTS that doesn't do that can be successful. And obviously, well, just for one other thing, RTS does not equal MOBA. So we're talking about like a one versus one, just so that people know, right?
I mean, I feel like I sort of disagree on that part, because if you copy StarCraft exactly, how is it ever going to beat StarCraft? I mean, StarCraft already
means
so,
like, just the components of the game. He means like the armies being balanced and there being resource management
that's
important to the game.
It's as simple as this. You know how Command and Conquer works, right? And Command and Conquer, you know, you're getting like Tiberium, but the way that like resource collection works, I mean, in RTSs, don't you think it's more substantial when you have, you know, 30 workers that are collecting resources that someone could come in and like, you know, a part of attack, a logical attack is to come in and try to take out as many of these workers as possible. When in like, you know, when in Command and Conquer, you have like 3 Tiberium refineries and one dies and you're like totally fucked. Like there's
scene, the game became very rush oriented too, yes, because you mined out your areas super fast. And anytime the game went to the mined out stage, because of those 3 fixed mining spots, you had fucking resource gatherers across the map getting it. It slowed the game down 1,000,000% and became boring. So that's why everyone rushed all the time.
But you, how does that relate to like Warcraft 3, which you also mentioned? There was like 5 workers there, and then like 5-6 more harvesting lumber. Like there's no 30 workers there that you can kill 10 of, and then you'll be like...
I think it's just the location thing that's maybe more important. Like the... Yeah, if you chopped wood, eventually got to the point where you're like chopping wood across the fucking planet, but that at least you're mining gold. But
Warcraft 3 is more about the micro of the units and the hero and using, you know, good compositions to win battles that you probably shouldn't have. I don't know. I mean, you do make a good point, Thorze. But sorry, caller. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
But more importantly, to clarify, supposing an RTS did get it right and they got the formula that made it a fun game, a good game to watch, like StarCraft II did, what do you think would happen to the scene? Would we perhaps splinter? Or do you think that we would, for the most part, stick with StarCraft? Because StarCraft II was kind of a phenomenon where everybody came together. But when there's a competitor on the horizon, which we haven't seen for a while, for a couple of years now, StarCraft has been dominating the scene.
You know what?
Well, an RTS has been dominating for 15 years, like ever since StarCraft 1. Its only other competitor was Warcraft 2, which was the basically handed off to StarCraft. Like, no other RTS comes close.
Let's just say another RTS did, though, caller, for the sake of the call, right? Let's just say another RTS comes out in a year and a half, and you know, StarCraft players are like, holy shit. You know, is this feasible? I don't know. But a man named Justin Wong from Team Evil Geniuses went and played in 7 different fighting game competitions over this weekend. Is an RTS player good enough that they could actually, you know, play multiple RTS games? Like, I would like to see the RTS genre flourish in a way that it is like the fighting game community a little bit, where it's like, you know, maybe there are a couple of RTSs in, and a guy like Suppy could be like, hey, I like both these games, and I'm actually going to give it a shot playing in both. You know,
you can't even play 2 different races and be on a competitive level. How would you be able to play 2 different games?
You know what? You say that, Thorzane, but like, you can't play 15,000 different characters and be at a competitive level. Like, you don't hear those words said in a fighting. They would tell you that you're fucking crazy.
Well, I think it's been proven so many times. Like, why don't we see more multi-race players? Like, it's because I'm not saying Street Fighter is not complicated, and I don't really know how to put
it. Like, let's take a game like Marvel.
Like that, but like,
there's 64 characters. You play 3 of them, and you have to know what the other fucking 61 characters do, dude. There's like a level of depth in that.
Yeah, it's like League. You play League, and there's like, I don't know how many characters. Let's say there's 60 characters there as well. People do play League. It's just League, but there's still like a ton of characters in it. But then the League guys, I don't know how they translate to, for example, Dota 2, because it's like different. Like, it's still, it's not just to learn 64 new guys, it's to learn 64 new guys and the way the whole game works.
I mean, I can look at it from both perspectives. And honestly, it comes down to almost an argument of like, can you even compare like fighting games and, you know, an RTS, which in some cases I think you can and some you can't. But okay, let's say in 3 years, there's actually 3 viable RTSs out. All of them with decent prize money. They have individual competitions, so it's not like you're having to choose when you go to one. If you saw StarCraft II with Legacy of the Void come out, and it's, you know, it's still doing pretty well, but obviously there's could be a future in these other RTS games. Do you consider at least picking those up? Do you consider like following in your RTS path? All 3 of you, I guess I throw that question out.
Sure. I would Sure, as in, what, you're going to just stick with StarCraft?
No, I would. I mean, StarCraft would be my passion because I've been doing it for so long. But if there truly was another game that was as it had the components of StarCraft in terms of being competitive and it had an esports scene and people were playing it, I would play it. And at least enough to commentate or host or something like that. I don't know that I would, like, I would, you know, tell Anna to go to Siberia for 3 months because I'm just going to train Super Saiyan style and go pro, but...
I think I'd have to... I mean, in this hypothetical situation, I'd first have to figure out, like, if I... like, which one of the three I really enjoyed, and then it's going to be, like, a factor of both how much I enjoy the game and also, like, how many people end up transitioning to that game, because I feel like most people transitioned because everybody else is transitioning, then it's like, oh, let's play this game, StarCraft 2. Like, people were staying with Brood War for a while until it was clear that everybody was going to StarCraft 2. So, I don't know. I think most people are... I don't know. I think most
those,
people are
gonna... Those are, like, the people from The Hills Have Eyes, though. They stayed back, but they were always mutants and cannibals and weird people. Everyone moved to StarCraft 2 as soon as they possibly could. That, you know, matters, I guess.
Yeah. But I think the fact that StarCraft is so established in Korea right now makes it really difficult for other games to, like, if another RTS would come out right now, it makes it really difficult, unless it's going to be, like, I don't know, foreigners only, which, I don't know, I feel like you really need to, like, captivate the Korean audience, I don't know, to make it a successful game.
Either way, a great, great question and even more interesting discussion piece, and maybe it's even something that we spend a little bit more time on in the future, but I do appreciate your call, caller.
Yeah,
all
thank
right,
you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Really good call.
Of course, you know what? Regardless of what sort of arguments or talks or discussion that's had, it'd be great to know that, you know, the future of RTS is a solid one, because it wasn't looking exactly so hot until StarCraft 2 was actually announced. But I mean, Warcraft 3 was cool and everything.
That's a good point. We back in the day, we played Brood War not because we thought it would be in our future, but because we thought it was the best game. But now with StarCraft 2, we're like, hey, we can make a living doing this.
It is the future.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our final caller of the evening. It is the one and the only Goatlust. Hello, buddy. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, g'day. G'day, fellas. How
good
are we?
Good day to you. I'm good. Doing pretty good.
How's your arm?
Actually, seeing as everyone in Twitch chat went off and said, oh, fuck, go to the doctor, man, go to the doctor. Otherwise, you know, 10 years' time, you won't be able to fucking move your arm. You'll be fucking fuming. And anyhow, I went to the doctor and she's like, oh, yeah, looks like you just really did some tissue damage to it and shit. So, you know, it's all good.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like, yeah, you did. You fractured it in 497 places.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah, nothing like that. Nah.
Nice. Well, good.
Thank
good.
Fuck.
We're glad you're doing good.
Did you say thank fuck? That doesn't even make sense.
Yes, it does. Thank
I draw the line. I draw the line with that F use there.
I like it. So.
Well, Jeff, you just got to come over to Australia for a few months. You'll pick up a few things, mate.
challenge accepted.
Oh, what's your question this week, Outlast?
Well, a caller before sort of touched on this topic very lightly, but you know, Naniwa copped a bit of shit for what he did with that sort of shaking hands incident. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what you guys feel as competitive players about, you know, the winner sort of going over to the loser and, you know, shaking hands. Because it always hasn't been so, you know, clear cut. I remember people weren't so happy when Jinro went over and, you know, did that, you know, Jinro Saint sort of, you guys know that, putting the hand on the MC shoulder thing.
Sure was
thing.
Incredible. The Jesus picture.
Yeah.
Coming through the booth with both hands feel. On shoulders. That's a good question, man. Wheat, start us off, man.
I played in a soccer league when I was younger.
Oh, damn it.
Brace yourself. And after every soccer game, they lined us up, you know, and we went by. It's like, good game, 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 good game. And then the next soccer game would happen, and good game, good game, good game. So, you know, like, for me, sports at an early age just sort of instilled this in my head. Now, here's the thing. What happened after those slaps that's fucking fair game, man. You know, you said good game. Well, it's over. That's when the celebration begins. So I'm actually of the fond opinion that everyone should at least go over and extend their hand. If your opponent doesn't take it, well, that's fine. But then after that, if you want to get on stage and dance around like a monkey and pull down your pants and give a good old DX, you know, crotch chop, you should. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much where I stand on things.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting because, to be honest with you, this kind of thing has actually come up a lot. And it's kind of funny to talk about, too, because I also watch, like, Evo and I watch the FPS tournaments and stuff like that, and especially with Call of Duty, which is kind of – it's added a new flavor to FPS. FPS has always been, like, raucous and stuff like that, but COD's, like, underage yelling now. But it's interesting because they always talk to – they talk about RTS players as, like, super, like, you know, like kind of conservative and prudent and very like, oh, manners. Oh, I don't agree. You've harmed my sentiments. Like, we're very careful about that. Whereas like in other game communities, man, if you've ever seen Gears of War played offline, holy shit. Anyways. So it's always kind of funny to have this talk, but in my opinion, like, when you play a teammate in particular, I feel like both players should be rushing to, because I don't care who won or who lost. It's really important to me that both those players secure each other in that public display of competition where they go to, like, it should be a meet in the middle. And this is a unique situation, but like, it's, as an EG guy, we've played each other a lot. So I've always advocated to all of our players that I don't care if you won or you lost, you should meet exactly in the middle, 'cause both, you should be equally motivated to say, hey, good game, to the other guy, so that there's no possibility for anyone to look in on that and be like, ooh, they're not really a team. They don't like each other, that kind of a thing. Because that gets read about EG all the time, actually. But as far as, like, non-competitors, I didn't even think – or non-teammates, rather. I didn't even think about it until Nanua, in defense of the WCS No Handshake Dvortix, said that he thinks it's really – he really doesn't like it when the winner comes to him to shake his hand. It should be the loser that goes to him. And I was like, I never even thought of that. And on the one hand, I can see what he's saying because – when a winner comes to, like, shake your hand, that does seem a little bit like there's the chance of, like, well, I don't want to shake your hand. I'm really upset that I just lost. But now I kind of am put in this weird place because you won and you're now challenging me, like, publicly. But on the other hand, it just doesn't cross my mind because I would be like, well, fuck it. It's nice of him to do that because it shows that we're okay and we can move beyond this and be about the games, you know? So I think it's an interesting question. I'd love to hear what other people are thinking about it, too.
I actually agree with Nanimo on this one. I think the loser should approach the winner, or the winner can go over to the loser and like try to gauge how he's doing. Like if he's upset, like with his hands over his head and like just seems devastated, then you can back off. Or if he seems angry and like doesn't look you in the eyes, but if you like make eye contact and you see that he's not like that fed up about it, then you can go shake his hand. But I'd prefer it when the loser does it.
But yeah, do you get mad when the winner, like, that does when the winner comes over, and would you be mad or like not shake their hand?
Not really. No, I think I might have used to be not mad, but like, oh god, I wish he wouldn't have done that. Like, just feel like being angry inside, but not anymore. But I know that there are players who get really, really upset and they really don't want to shake your hands, like Nanima, for example. So you should at least try to, like, you shouldn't have it like, if you're a winner, you should always, always go shake his hand. You should try to, like, see if he's willing to shake his hand, like, just by looking at him. Or let him do it. That's my opinion.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like, because this is like a debate that's ongoing in StarCraft 2 all the time, like the GG, no GG thing, and people talk like, I never GG because, you know, like, I don't have to do that. Fuck that. And I'm not like, that person's the most vile person to me, but it's like, there are, it's funny when people pretend that there's not things that we do out of just like respect to the game in this game. And to deny handshaking, yeah, you can do that, but the same thing's true in like tennis or other live action like competition. Like, there's just a time at the end of every sport where the other team like shakes hands with the other one, and when one person doesn't shake hands, that's actually the bigger message, the bigger statement than just fucking shaking hands. Like, people get way into this, but nobody actually says GG, and what they mean is like, my family would like to communicate to you that we want the utmost respect and love. No, it's just like, fuck it, GG, you know, like, that's what we do. So it's always funny to me when people, like, make this final stand, like, no! It was not a GG! I six-pooled you and it didn't work and I'm pissed! And you're like, okay, like, you go off, like, put it this way. You know what my argument would always be for shaking hands? The gif of Nanua not shaking Vortex's hand. I would show that to my children in the future. I'd be like, when you don't shake hands, this is what you look like. And I'd hold up a little iPad, and it's Nanua going, like, not shaking hands. And I'd be like, you turn into a fucking monster troll from Sweden. And they're like, Daddy, put it away! What happens when we shake hands? And you show a picture of two normal people shaking fucking hands, and they're like, I want to be normal. Case in point.
It just still be the loser shaking your hand. It's like an offense GG, man. If the winner goes to shake your hand, I feel like it's really arrogant. And obviously, I still accept it. I know they're not trying to be like that. But I feel like if I'm the winner and I want to go shake someone's hand, like, I feel like I'm being arrogant, like imposing myself on them. I still think the loser should always shake the hand. It's like it's their prerogative if they want to shake a hand or not. But I have heard the argument where if you're both on stage and someone wins, it seems kind of weird if the loser goes onto the stage right after they lose, because, you know, the crowd's all cheering and they want to see the winner come out of the booth and go and shake the loser's hand.
I don't think that's
too weird. One argument I've heard, huh?
I don't think that's super weird. Like, I've seen it happen. No. I've done it myself, and it doesn't feel like it gives more respect to the loser. Like, when they see that you're actually just like, oh, you lost the game, you go outside in front of like hundreds of people, you go shake his hand, they're all like cheering, yay. And then that's it. Then they will do the interview or whatever with the winner. It's not really that bad.
Great. All right. Well, that was an awful lot to digest, Goatless, but hopefully you got a thorough answer.
Yeah, it is. It's a pretty complex issue, isn't it, with so many different cultures meshing together in our scene.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks as always, guys. Have a good one.
It's great to hear from you every week, except for those 2 weeks where we never heard from you. But I mean, arguably our fault or a dune buggy accident. So look forward to next week, man.
Take care, dude. Catch you later, fellas. Right,
bye.
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 All right. That's gonna be it. It's gonna be it. Let's wrap up.
Okay, so I want to thank EG and all the lovely sponsors, of course. Thanks for having me on the show. I don't have anything to say today. I wish I would have performed better in Star Strikers. Next time I'll play the dudes that are good from the start and not lose 2 games and then kick the crap out of the next guys.
You know, I'm letting you go. You guys actually have an in with the champion. You know, just like I always know I have an in if I want to get better with StarCraft 2. Like, I'm pretty sure I could probably beg one of you guys to, like, actually help me, which I never do. I'm extending that same thing to you guys, you know.
Okay, I'll make sure to...
You only have
before the next tournament, I'll message you and we'll practice.
What, Suppy?
Don't you just have 2 rules?
What? No, we added the third rule. There's a third rule. Yep, kick it forward, thread the fucking needle. The third rule, after schooling all you guys this weekend, is sick plays, dude. Sick fucking plays, Suppy.
I've still been waiting for your freaking highlight video from the...
Oh, my God.
Did you ever make that?
I've got two. I've got two, actually, yeah. I've been too busy on the mini-wheat stuff, though. But anyway. Go ahead, Suppy.
Thank you guys for watching and tuning in. As always, it's been a pleasure and I've had a blast on the show. Just want to say you can follow me at EGSuppy on Twitter and on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/SuperiorWolf. My stream was like really weird last time, so you should tune in and maybe it'll be weird again. What else did I want to say? I will be playing WCS America next Thursday.
Yes.
I think that's about it. Watch my Real Talk with JP if you haven't yet.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Since these young bloods won't do it, I'd like to give a special shout out to the sponsors of Team Evil Geniuses, Monster, Kingston HyperX, Razor, Aster, XMG, and Zam. XMG recently coming on board. Really excited to be working with them. If you haven't seen already, I did a extended series with Jadong. It's awesome. That's on our YouTube channel. Just check that out. You can follow me on Twitter at EGIncontrol. In the near future, I'll be streaming on InControl TV on Twitch TV. My stream's not weird. It's just commentary, great music, and fun, loving, hot action, hots action play. And also, I yell at a lot of people. Sophie, when you laugh, it warms my heart.
It warms my heart.
In the very near future, I will be appearing on Meta. That's Artosis' show tonight in about 3 hours. And then I also do this D&D show. We'll be doing two of them this weekend. One is Warhammer 40,000 with Mr. Wheat, who is going to be playing a seductress, which by the name of Anaphema, and she's this.
You actually
really
are trolling, but don't know how right you might be. So,
oh shit!
There is so much that you guys are going to learn about DJ Wheat during Roleplay Dark Heresy. Yes, indeed, it's going to be good times.
So that'll be Saturday. We haven't picked a time just yet, I don't think, but do follow ItmeJP for his. He does information on that kind of stuff all week long, so he knows more than we do, obviously, on when that's coming out. And then, of course, the original roleplay will be on Sunday. And actually, kind of a cool thing about this, shout out to the creator of Adventure Time.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Can't remember his name, but he...
Oh, you're a dick.
Damn it. Now I have to look it up. What is his name? Let me try to remember this story. It was... If I remember...
Hold on, my stream is a little loud. Let me adjust here. Just
Pendleton
bit.
Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The name comes to me now. Anyways, so he he actually tweeted at me this weekend with a GIF that he animated of my character from roleplay in a scene. I actually pull a spear out of my stomach and then gouge the eyes of a gremlin with it. And he did a GIF of that. And this guy is the creator of one of my favorite shows and just an awesome fucking guy. So... Huge shout out to him. It's Pendleton Ward on Twitter if you want to give him a follow. But that was like one of the highlights of my life this weekend. And then just moving forward, just a shout out to all my Twitter followers and fans and stuff because they've been super awesome. I got into graphic novels, which I know that DJ Wheat's way into, and he's going to help me out as well as Day 9. But I'm starting to read Preacher, which is really cool.
Did you skip the first trade?
I just got the first book, it's called.
Okay.
How many books are there? Is there like seven?
There's nine.
Nine books?
Nine. That's it right there.
And it's concluded, right?
This is what you are going to read, Jeff, and it's so fucking good.
Sick. That is sick. So, yeah, that's it for me. Thanks, guys.
So good. All right, well, thanks for just abruptly ending it, Jeff, while not giving
no,
you
it
time
goes
to
you
put
now.
The books away. You're supposed to like at least buffer with 15 seconds so I can. So I have Live on 3 tomorrow. As Jeff mentioned, new show this week, which is Roleplay Dark Heresy, featuring myself, TB, InControl, and JP. And a very, very special DM, which I'm very excited about. That'll be on Saturday. Other than that, I'm going to go see Pacific Rim tonight, and we're going to go to, like, the 10:30 IMAX 3D. Hopefully no one's there. We're just going to sneak in a bunch of booze, get totally wasted, be loud and obnoxious. It's going to be awesome. Also, the Mini Wheat Learns to Play. It's finally back, and it's no longer necessarily StarCraft II. I've got some just fantastic videos of him playing Counter-Strike Go and Dota 2, which will be posted here very soon, but I released a preview video. It's on youtube.com/DJWeed. I hope you go check it out. Other than that, thank you for joining us for another Inside the Game. Thanks for joining us for episode 77. We'll see you next time, next week, whenever, for another episode. We are out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Peace. See you next time.
Peace.
Goodbye.